I want you to go with me to probably a famous psalm. Now, it's not as famous as others. Like Psalm 23 is obviously very famous. Psalm 119 would be very famous. Psalm 1 is famous. And then, I don't know, maybe you have your famous psalm. But Psalm 51, Psalm 51. Maybe you know right away kind of what Psalm 51 is all about, and we will get into a little bit of that tonight. But I'd like to speak on this theme tonight, something to sing about. Something to sing about. And singing, boy, I tell you, I thank God for the ability that He gives us to sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I'm so grateful for people that know how to sing. Not like me, but people that know how to sing. And I love to sing. You know, singing is such a vital part of the Christian life. Singing, making melody to the Lord. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And the Bible says, you're turning to Psalm 51, but the Bible says in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You know, God has given you and God has given us a song. When we got saved, He put a new song in our mouth. Some of you got saved later in life, and so you had a lot of tunes in your mouth from your worldly lost self. And we've all had tunes like that, even if we got saved early on, that we shouldn't have been listening to. But God saved us to give us a new song. And I'm thankful for the songs that God gives us. But I'm also well aware that the devil wants to take away those songs. And you know, songs bring, lift the spirits and lift the spirit and encourage us. And it's one thing about this particular time that we're in that I truly do miss. I mentioned it the other day, and that's singing with you. Singing as a church. Congregational singing is not just to fill time. Very important. Prepares us for the Word of God. It gets us ready. Look at Psalm 51 in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud." Mark that in your Bible. Sing aloud. Notice a couple of the things. It's sing aloud, not sing a quiet. Tell you what, we need to lift up our voices and sing praise to the Lord. And no, don't sing so low that no one can hear you, okay? You may know that little joke there. But it says, "I may sing aloud, my tongue will sing aloud of thy righteousness." Verse 15, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." I firmly believe that David is talking in verses 14 and 15 about singing. And you notice when this is happening in this journey, and maybe we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need you tonight. I need you every time I have the honor and the privilege of standing behind this pulpit. And Lord, it's a humbling thing to do. I don't take it lightly, and I recognize, Lord, my weakness, and I need your strength. And I pray, God, that I would see you tonight, and I would see your glory tonight. And Lord, that those that are listening would somehow be able to not focus on the fact that they're sitting in a living room and not in a church house, Lord, but they're in the presence of God right now, and that your word would create in us a song once again. In Jesus' name, amen. God's word is filled with praise. You cannot go long in reading the word of God and not find praise. Music should be used to praise and worship the King of Kings. I want you to go with me in your Bible. I want you to mark Psalm 51, but I want you to go with me in your Bible all the way back to the second book of the Bible, and it's the book of Exodus. And you'll remember that there's a group of people there. They're called the children of Israel, and they get into Egypt for all of that time in bondage after there was a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph and all that goes on. And then the Bible says that that God rose up Moses and Aaron, and they went and delivered the people. Notice what it says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1. Then, what's the next word in your Bible? Sang. Sang. We're going to do some singing, all right? If you're down south, you're going to do some singing. So Moses must have been a southern Jew, amen? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. I was trying to figure out how to make this into a song and sing it to you tonight, but I figured that you already heard me once, and that was all. That was well enough. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Just try to picture this. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. What are they talking about? They're talking about the deliverance across the Red Sea. And you know what? I just thought of this. How did Moses cross the Red Sea? How did he get across? Have you ever heard that song? I don't think that's what they were singing, but did he run? No, no. Did he walk? No, no. How did he get across? Oh, boy, I tell you what. Now I'm going. The Lord, here, listen, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and what? Song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. And there in verse number 1, Moses sang. The children of Israel were singing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. And it was a praise of God. God had brought a great victory, and so their way of giving God praise was to sing. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You think about these songs and hymns and spiritual songs that we have in our book, in our songbook that we use, and other choruses and things that we use. God wants us to have a song. There's something about singing and praising the Lord. Then, if you will, look at verse number 21 of the same chapter. And the Bible says, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord. I think Miriam was the first choir director. Amen? Miriam, the choir director. And she said, sing unto the Lord. Why? For he hath triumphed gloriously. We're not singing praise to the pastor, the assistant pastor, the church even. We're singing praise of adoration and glory. We're singing these songs to the Lord because he is victorious and he is king and he is Lord of lords and he does not fail and he takes care of us. I mean, think about what God is doing right now in 2020. God is taking care of you. He hasn't failed. He's allowing us to see him do great and mighty things. And Miriam said, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And so a time of singing there in Exodus chapter 15. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. And you probably, maybe you remember this one. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. The temple has been dedicated. And now Solomon and company there. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 5 and verse number, verse number 12. And the Bible says, also the Levites, which were the singers. There you go. The first Southern Gospel Quartet right there, the Levites. No, I'm just kidding about that. Also, the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun. I guess it was a trio. Oh, no, here comes some more. With their sons and their brethren, it was a men's choir. Amen. Being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests. Can you imagine this? 120 trumpets going off. Talk about a sound. Talk about some exhilaration and praise to God. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. We read this verse on Sunday. They were as one. They were unified to make one sound to be heard. What was it for? Praising and thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Boy, what do you need to praise God for? What do I need to praise God for tonight? Everything, because everything is from him. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It says, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets. Now think about how much they have to lift up their voice with trumpets. All right? Next time we get back together in church, let's lift up our voice and sing praise to the Lord. Amen? None of this whispering stuff. Let's sing unto the Lord and praise his name. And the Bible says cymbals and instruments of music. And they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Singing in the Bible, praising God in the Bible. How did Moses cross the Red Sea? Singing praise for the victory of the Red Sea. Singing praise that the temple was built. Psalm 51. Let's go back there. Psalm 51 comes at a time in David's life. A very crucial time in David's life. In fact, about at least 9 months have gone by in David's life. And then Nathan approaches King David about his sin. David had seen Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, bathing on a rooftop. And I think if he would have looked away and carried on, then we wouldn't have all that we have. But he didn't just look. You know, many times, unfortunately, many times in the day in which we live, not just in the day in which we live, it's always been something that things will come across our eyes, and we have an opportunity at that very moment, nothing that we could have prevented, but there's a lot of things that we bring across our eyes that we shouldn't be, that we do on our own, that's sin. I'm talking about things that come across our eye gate that we had no idea was coming, and we have an opportunity right then to yield to the Spirit or yield to the flesh. And if we continue to look and long and lust, that's it. It's a problem. Now you've committed adultery already in your heart. And I'm speaking about looking at a woman in an inappropriate way, because that's what David did. I don't believe David just looked and then looked away. No, he had to have kept looking and kept looking and kept looking. And it was creating something in him that wasn't supposed to be for Bathsheba. And he responded on that and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And anyway, then he ended up having Uriah killed. But I'm going to submit to you tonight that David didn't have his song. The reason why I say that is because he said in verse 12, "Restore unto me something." What did he want restored? Joy. I don't believe that David, the psalmist, the harpist, I believe that possibly for that. Now, again, this isn't in the Bible anywhere. I'm just kind of making some application, but I think for 9 months, David had a hard time singing praise to God. Why? Because David was holding on to some sin that he was unwilling to confess. So let's look at three things tonight. Number one, his sin. His sin. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, "Deliver me from," look at that big word there, it's all one word, "blood guiltiness." Blood guiltiness. This is the guilt David carried from the murder of Uriah. David David committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was Uriah's wife. And then he had Uriah sent to the forefront of the battle so that he was sure to die. And he did. And David committed adultery. Murder. And that adultery led to murder, and that murder would lead to the death of the baby of Bathsheba. She got pregnant from that relationship that they had. That baby would die, and there's many other things that would come to David's life because of his sin, but that's not the message for tonight. But we're looking at number one, the blood guiltiness. This is the guilt. I can't imagine that a day would go by without David feeling guilt. Every day. And again, who wants to sing when they've got that guilt over them? Who wants to praise God with their song when they have that guilt over them? You can fake it, but it's not genuine. Maybe he faked it when they went to the temple to worship, but it wasn't coming from a heart of praise. We see David and his sin. Sin always brings guilt. And by the way, guilt, the load of guilt, will always be heavy. There's nothing light about guilt. There's nothing light about it. It's heavy. You know what? I might be speaking to someone tonight. You're sitting there in your home. You're sitting at the kitchen table. You're sitting on the couch. And as soon as you heard the word guilt, you were smitten by the Holy Spirit of God. You know why that could be? Because there's something in your life that you're guilty of that you haven't confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ, You haven't sought forgiveness. You haven't gone to some authority in your life and confessed that sin after going to the God and then going to the authority in your life, and you're holding on to it and holding on to it. How long are you going to hold on to that sin and let it rob you of the joy of the Lord which God has for you? David said, I can't take it anymore. Give me back the joy of my salvation. I want to sing again. That's what I'm challenging with us tonight. We need to sing again. We can't sing if we're holding on to that guilt. We can't sing if we're holding on to that sin. God has given us too many things to sing about. And I must tell you tonight that that's something that will be taken from me at times when I'm discouraged or I'm disappointed or I sin in my life and I'm not getting it dealt with properly, or bitterness or anger or whatever is there. And so I'm not talking just to you that are listening. I'm talking to the preacher tonight as well. Sin brings guilt. The load of guilt is heavy. How about this? Satan never reveals ahead of time the guilt that follows when the sin is committed. He doesn't let you know, oh, by the way, when you commit adultery with Bathsheba, you're going to feel guilt. Oh, by the way, when you do something of deception and you don't tell your parents and you think nobody knows about it, or when your husband or your wife doesn't know about it, or your employer doesn't know about it, and you're cheating on your taxes, or you're doing something of this nature. And by the way, this isn't to the lost, this is to believers like me, like you. No, don't listen to the lie of the devil. Yes, there's pleasure in it, but oh, there's no way that the weight of the guilt brings more pleasure than the pleasure does. No, the weight of the enjoyment of the pleasure is nothing compared to the weight of the guilt. What I'm trying to say there. Psalm 32, verse 3. You need to go over and see this verse. I give you time. I'm going to give you time to flip over to Psalm 32, 3. Notice what the first four words are. Would you read them with me? Ready? Psalm 32, 3, the first four words. Ready? When I kept silence. When I kept silence. When I held it in. Notice, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I am so grieved by it that I can't even cry anymore. I've cried so much and the burden is so heavy. And I'm silent about it. I'm not singing anymore. I haven't confessed it. I'm holding it in. It doesn't have to be adultery. It doesn't have to be murder to cause guilt. As I am convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, our sin will be followed by guilt if we're not willing. Now, praise God. Praise God. This isn't doom and gloom. You don't have to carry around guilt, okay? But that's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the devil wants me to do. No, I need to get rid of that. I need to confess that tonight. There's sins in your life. We call them two different levels. We say sin of omission. That means not doing what God commands me to do. Not doing what God commands me to do. We have sin of commission, which is doing what God tells me not to do. And you're going to have to examine yourself. Think about this, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Oh, tonight, where are you in this journey? Is your song not in your heart right now? Are your lips silenced? Has your joy not there? There's something in your life, and it may not be. Again, we try to put certain sins on plateaus. One's worse than another. I don't know that yes, I do know that there's levels of punishment in hell, but I don't think we need to think about that right now. It could be just that you're not willing to forgive somebody. You've got some bitterness in there. You've got something in your life that's happened years ago. You know what? You're just flat out tired of this 2020, and you want it to go away. And that's not a good attitude to have. That's not going to help you to have the joy of the Lord. This is God is in this. God is working in this. Again, God is still on His throne. And don't let the devil take your song. Don't let the devil take your song. Now, here's the thing. The natural response to sin is not repentance. The natural response. Here's the thought. The natural response is to cover it up. The natural response... hide it. You remember? Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve. They had no father and no mother. Right? I mean physical birth, right? God created Adam with the dust of the ground. God created Eve with one of Adam's ribs. And here they are, right there. First one, they sin. They eat of the fruit of the garden. And what do? They don't meet God the next morning. They hide. Why? Guilty. Guilt, when guilt comes, the natural response is not to run to the cross and seek repentance. The natural response, and the devil will help you with this, by the way, and the devil will help me with this. Hey, Achan, remember Achan? He hid it. He stole and hid it. And God found him out, because God always finds us out. Be sure your sin will find you out. David's sin found him out. He paid for it for generation after generation after generation, and his son Absalom and all of that. But the natural response, hey, guilt can be removed. But what needs to happen? 1 John 1. Let's go to 1 John 1. Number one is sin, the sin of David. 1 John 1, you're very familiar with verse 9, but let's read the verses ahead of that. 1 John 1 and verse 7. And it says there, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. This is all sin. This is when we are walking in the light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess there, as we've said over and over, but it's repetition is the key to learning. The word confess there means to agree with God. His cleansing, God's cleansing, brings with it freedom and a liberty needed to sing again. Tonight, it's time for you, it's time for me to stop running and hiding and stop pushing off the unconfessed sin in our life, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to sing to our fullest from a heart of joy and a heart of praise to the Lord. Don't be like David and wait month after month after month. And maybe some of you, and I'll say this lovingly, some of you have been carrying things for more than months. You've been carrying things for years. And eventually, it's going to not only bring forth terrible fruit in your life, but it's going to be passed on to the people that you're influencing. Tonight is the night to say, God, I have been wrong. I confess this sin. Restore unto me. That's number two. Number two, his salvation. His salvation. Now, wait a minute. Do I get saved again? No. Salvation, yes, can refer to the day that we believed Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and accepted his gift of eternal life. By the way, if you're listening tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, I was reading today some of my outside reading for the master's class that I'm taking, and it was a really powerful chapter in a book, and it talked about, this man was talking about how the gospel should be presented, if at all possible, in every message. Actually, he said at least once on Sunday, because he's talking about a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service. And he's saying that the gospel should be presented at least in the morning or in the evening service. And don't ever back off of that. Because some of the people that we think are saved, some of the people that come in and they have the suits and ties and the dresses on and hold a King James Bible, and some of the people that cross all the T's and dot all the I's and help usher and do all of that and all of that. He said, you know what? That doesn't mean every one of them are truly born again. He said, preach the gospel message. Preach the message of salvation. Don't belittle the message of the gospel. And so tonight, I don't want to belittle the message of salvation. You could be listening, teenager, tonight and not be saved. You could be on your way to hell. That's not what Jesus Christ died. He did not die so you would go to hell. He died so you could be born again. He died so that you could be saved and know that he is your way to eternal life. That is salvation. I'm glad that at 9 years old, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know tonight at 46 years of age, I'm still saved. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived, but I'm thankful tonight for my salvation. What are we talking about here? Yes, there is a moment in time when we got saved. That is salvation. And it's not a continual process. But salvation has three tenses. Salvation has past, present, and future. I believe that when we got saved, we talked about that. Remember, if you were in the Sunday school lesson, all right? What did David need? King David needed a present help in his time of need. He needed present salvation. Go with me to Psalm chapter number 9. We're going to look at two passages, additional passages. Look at Psalm chapter 9, and let's look at verse number 14. The Bible says there, Psalm 9:14, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in what? Thy salvation. Thy salvation. I will rejoice in it. Psalm chapter 71. Psalm chapter 71. Turn over there quickly if you would. Thank you for listening. You know, thank you so much for continuing, especially Anchor Baptist Church family, having church at home. I'm seeing it from this view. You're seeing it from your view. Thank you for being faithful to be a part of these services. And boy, it's just very encouraging. I don't know what it's like to be on your end, watching from your end. And so I'm grateful that you're being faithful to the Lord. And really, that's how you got to look at it. Don't look at it that you're being faithful to the pastor. You're being faithful to the Lord. And God is blessing, and God will bless. And let's just patiently continue to seek His will. Verse 14, Psalm 71:14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord and Lord God, and I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. David needed God's present help. Present help. David needed that. You need that. I need that. Hey, sin. Think about sin. Let's go back to sin and think about it. We have the penalty of sin, we have the power of sin, and we have the presence of sin. I believe what David is talking about here is, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, that I can have daily victory, that I can have a daily salvation from the temptation that comes my way, the temptation that came his way, the temptation that comes your way. Sin's penalty was paid for where? At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died. Where? At Calvary. So that's the penalty of sin. Someday the presence of sin is going to be taken care of when you and I do what? When we go to heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Boy, that's going to be a good time, isn't it? I mean, the Lord Jesus is there and Satan isn't there. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's an excellent combination. But for right now, we need to be saved every day. Yeah, we need to be saved every day. We need to be saved from the power of sin. And just because you have a victory today doesn't mean tomorrow that the devil's going to say to his demons, okay, and his hoodlums, take a day off and leave Turner, leave Ravert alone. They can have a day off. No, that's not how it works. I'll tell you what, the devil is coming full force at you and full force at me, and he knows how to come at you and he knows how to come at me. And what do we need? We need daily salvation. We need daily victory in our life. There is also hope to overcoming the power of sin. 1 John 4:4, here's the daily victory. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to give you a passage of scripture to write down. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. I'm not going to turn there tonight, but I'll go ahead and have you write it down and then maybe take a look at it. So David, his sin, he says, I've got to be delivered. Let's go back to Psalm 51, please. Psalm 51, I've got to be delivered. Deliver me from this blood guiltiness. Okay, tonight, church, tonight, sir, ma'am, teenager, why carry the guiltiness? Why carry the guilt one more day? Deal with it tonight. Deal with it tonight. Agree with God. You are wrong. You know, it's always somebody else, isn't it? It's always my wife. It's always my husband. It's always my kids. It's always my boss. It's always, 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 it's my past. It's my present. You can't blame it on your future. You don't even know what that is yet. But you would if you could, and I would if I could sometimes. No, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's we who need to say, I'm guilty. Jesus, I'm sorry. Father in heaven, please, I agree. I'm the one that's wrong in this relationship. I'm the one that's wrong in this situation. I want to be delivered from this. Take this guilt away. Oh, he'll take it away. I need to have my salvation restored. And then we see number three, his song. His song. Sin always takes away my song. Who wants to sing for the Lord when we are carrying the guilt of unconfessed sin? We've talked about that. Sin silences the Christian. It takes away our song. It takes away our voice for the Lord. David said, I want my tongue to sing aloud once again of thy righteousness. Go to Isaiah 61, please. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. David's song. Oh, and did David have some songs? David's song. Isaiah 61. The Bible says in verse number 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Notice, if you will, the beginning. The prophet says, I will greatly rejoice. My soul shall be joyful because of the garments that I have. Praise God tonight that when we confess our sin, the joy of our salvation is restored, and we are dependent, and we can have a victory every day. We don't have to click on that. We don't have to log into that. We don't have to look that way. We don't have to speak that way. We don't have to react. We can act based on how we know the Bible wants us to live our life. We don't have to carry the load of guilt. We can unload that and be forgiven and our salvation restored. And then immediately the song comes back. Immediately, instead of not hearing the birds chirping in the morning, we can hear the birds chirping in the morning. And we have that good spirit. We have that joyful spirit. I like this. As I was reading it, I wrote this down. Glory to God. We are part of a heavenly choir. Did you notice that? He gave us a garment. He gave us a robe. And you know how choirs wear robes sometimes. And I want to have that robe on all the time, thinking and singing and praising God. For he is good, for his mercy endureth to all generations. We have been given something. We have been given a song. Song sometimes in the night, right? Just because we have the joy of the Lord doesn't mean we're going to be free from the night. When you're in the night season, you're going to need that song. When you're in the night season, you're going to need to have the sweet hour of prayer. You're going to need to be able to sing to the Lord and praise the Lord. And you might have it through tears, and you might have it through a broken heart. Oh, but that's nothing compared to that blood guiltiness that David said in verse 14. Deliver me. Oh, we can come to God in the night season and have a clear conscience. And as far as we know, we're right with God, and yet he's taking us through the valley of the shadow of death, or he's bringing us through a difficult time. And we're, as far as we know, we're trying to be right with him, and our salvation is there. We're seeing victory, but it's still a difficult time. Do you know what we need? We need that song. We need that song. We need that time of praise. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful, true. Even in the valley, our God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. What is your song tonight? Oh, don't let the devil rob you of your song. Tonight, I submit to you, Anchor Baptist Church, we have something to sing about. Maybe we should rephrase it. We have somewhat. Sing about.